Chashas Kairach starts off. Ayikach Kairach ben Yitzhak ben Kos ben Levi, v'dosan v'aviram ben Eliyah ben Mepelas ben Reuven. And Rashi tells us, Ayikach, what did Kairach take? Doesn't say what he took.
Kairach took. Lokach es atzmol.
Rashi says, Lokach es atzmol etzad echad. He took himself off to one side to be separate from the Eidah to complain about the Kohuna. And Kairach starts a whole revolution, a whole rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, complaining. He broke off.
The Eidah.
And who does the Pasuk say joins him? Three people. Dasan Aviram and Oyin Ben Pelas. And everyone knows, as we go through the parasha, Oyin Ben Pelas mysteriously disappears from the...
He disappears.
Oyin Ben Pelas disappears from the parasha. Dawson and Aviram stand out prominently until the very end. They go down with Kairach. And Oyin Pelas, his name is not mentioned, he disappears. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Kuf Yod tells us what happened to Oyin Pelas. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Yod explains, Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Beisa, the wisdom of the Noshim build the house, Zu Ishtoi Shil Oyin Pelas. That's the wife of Oyin Pelas. The veles biyado terzana, a foolish wife with her hands destroys the house. Zu ishtoi shel Kairach. That's the wife of Kairach. The marriage brings down that Kairach's wife enticed the Sanhedrin Kufiud. They mates them on, excited him. It's not fair what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing, and so on. Well, Oyin Pelas' wife saved him. And how did Oyin Pelas' wife save him? So we all know the story.
Oyin
Pelas comes home. He tells his wife all the news.
We're going to
Kairach rebellion. I'm joining the rebellion. And she says to him, "And what's in it for you? What are you going to gain? Benkach or Benkach? Whether Moshe Rabbeinu is right wins. Whether Kairach wins, you're going to be the same Oyin Pelas. You're the same Oyin Pelas. You're now. What are you getting involved in machlokes? That's not for you." So he says to her,
"What should I do?
You're right, but I already pledged allegiance to Kairach. I already signed up. And they're coming to pick me up tomorrow. They're coming to pick me up. I gotta be ready. I can't have no way of backing out." So she says, "Leave it up to me." She gives him a little bit of wine to drink, and he falls into a deep sleep. He's sleeping. And when they come to pick him up, she uncovers her hair. To what extent? Whatever extent it was, she uncovers her hair. They see her hair's uncovered. They say, "Ooh, she's not a tznua. We don't want him. We don't want Oyin Pelas on our side." And they leave Oyin Pelas out. He's sent off. He's kicked off the team. They don't want him anymore. And they don't want him on their side. And Oyin Pelas is saved.
You know, it's interesting that Fatigas against the Kodesh Baruch,
yes,
that they'll do. But Tznius, that's...
And what about the Mishnah in Yuma?
Yeah, but the Kohanim.
Yeah. He'll kill another Kohen because he's taking away the Avodah. Yeah. He's worried about Tumah. If he kills the Kohen, if he's Tumah or not. Right. Shvichus Domim, he wasn't worried about. Tumah, he's worried about. That's the mentality of people. Some people are... Says of Chaim Shmuel, please explain this to me. Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa. That was a Gavadka Chochma that she did? What was her great Chochma? She... A Machoikis. Anybody who has any common sense knows that when you see a Machoikis, you stay out. Why is she praised as being Chochma? A Chochma is somebody who's wise. It's not somebody who's wise. She had common sense. You want to say she had some Seichel, she had common sense. But to say she had Chochma, what was the great wisdom that she demonstrated by saving her husband? And he says a very short but sharp answer. And he says, because when there's machloikis going on, people don't think. People lose their seichel. The machloikis affects a person from beginning to end, top to bottom, and people get all excited, heated up, and they join in, and they don't think. The fact that she was able to keep her cool, so to speak, and she was able to think clearly, and she was able to have common sense at the time when everyone else was getting raced on, excited in machloikis, that requires chokhmah. That requires wisdom. To be able to go against the tide, when everyone's getting caught up in the machloikis, and she was able to see through it clearly and have common sense, that's considered to be chokhmah. Chokhmas noshim bonsa besa. And how true it is. How many stories of machloikis we hear day in and day out, whether old machloikis in, new machloikis in, and if you stand and remove yourself from the story, you look at both sides, And it's common sense. What are they fighting about? What do they stand to gain? What does he stand to gain? Stay out. Machoikis is not yours. Don't get involved. Chochmas noshim bonsa beis.
Chochmas also the way she did it. She didn't go against her husband. She didn't fight with him.
Fine.
She did it in such a way that they should go. Fine. 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 Fine.
Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. Fine. One of the three things in Achitayfel Tzavah. Tiyu b'machoikis. Not to be involved in machoikis. For a person to keep their, be level-headed and to be able to see through and remain calm is a gavaldiga chachma. Vayishma Moshe, vayipol apon. In Pasuk, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Dalet, Moshe hears, and he falls upon him. So Rashi says, why did he fall upon him? Mepnei ha-machoikis. Because of the machoikis. Shekava ze biyodom sirchoin revis. This is already the fourth aveira. The fourth sin, the fourth strike. They sinned by the Egel, by Chal Moshe. Moshe was Mispalo. They sinned by the Misaynanim, by Yispalo Moshe, Moshe Davint. They sinned by the Meraglim, by Yayim Moshe Al Hashem, Vishom Mitzrayim, was able to Davin to save Chal Yisrael. By the Machoikas HaKairach, Nisrash Mu Yodav, his hands were weak. It's the fourth time already, who knows if my Tefilas will help? By Yipa Raponov, he fell. He didn't know if his Tefilas will help already by the fourth time. But, a person has to be mispalel as much as he can. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu tried to save Klal Yisrael as much as he can, even though they did one Aveira after another. There's a story in Brisk. In Chaim Brisk, there was a young man who was a bit of a mechutzif, and he was a mechal Shabbos befehesia, and every Shabbos morning, when Chaim Brisk would walk to shul, he would walk next to him and smoke a cigarette. This went on 1 week after another. He would come up to Dafka at that time to Shepherd Chaim Brisco and smoke a cigarette as he walked to shul. Okay. And Chaim Brisco tried to talk to him to no avail, and the whole town was tremendously upset at the chutzpah he had. A little while later, this young man joined the Russian army and he shipped out of town. It seems that while he was in the army, during a target practice one day, there was a picture of the Tsar hanging on the wall, and somehow his aim wasn't too good, and he shot a bullet into the picture of the Tsar. And as soon as that happened, the other soldiers reported him that he was the one who shot the hole in the picture, and they arrested him, they judged him, trial, they sentenced him to be killed. Because he, after all, showed disrespect to the Tsar, they sentenced him to be killed. Chaim Brisco found out that this young man was sentenced to be killed. And he tried, is there any way to save his life? Even though he was a Rosh, a Mechal Shabbos, perhaps he could save his life. And he found out from one of the big officers that for 5,000 rubles, the government will be willing to overlook his offense and they'll save his life. They'll be able to pardon him for 5,000 rubles. 5,000 rubles is quite a large sum of money. So Chaim Brisco called a meeting in the town with all the Rosh Kahal and all the Dvirim and so on. And he said, listen, Rabbi Yisrael, Pidni Shvuyim, you have a chance to save a Yid's life. 5,000 rubles, who's going first? Who's going to start? And they all said together, him? We should save him, that Rosh Marusha, that Mechal Shabbos Befahesia, who used to smoke every Shabbos morning, we're going to save him?
Not one kopek.
Nothing at all. We're not giving a red cent, nothing at all. Chaim Brisco said, but he's a Yid. And he said, but he's a Rosh Marusha, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, uviyad haromi kirecha. And Chaim Brisco said to them, that's only up to Bezdin. If Bezdin paskins, then Bezdin can kill him. But if there's no Bezdin, no Pesach of Bezdin, we have no right to say it's Chayiv Misa. We have to go ahead. We have to go ahead and redeem him. But Shemayfin, not a red penny. Nothing at all. And he wasn't able to do anything at all, as hard as he tried. The execution was moving up. The date was coming closer. Erev Yom Kippur, after Mincha, everyone's in a rush to go home still. After Erev Yom Kippur Mincha, either Sukkah Mavsekes, prepare for Yom Kippur, Chaim Brisco stands by the door of the shul and he says, nobody's leaving until we raise the 5,000 rubles that we need to redeem this young man before Yom Kippur. No, yes, at the end of the day he prevailed and he was able to raise the 5,000 rubles and he went ahead and he saved his life. Okay. Koyach that the Gedolim have. To us, right away, we're very quick to judge others. Ah, he's no good. Ah, he deserves it. Ah, it's not my business. Very good to stay out. But we see differently. Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever Klal Yisrael sinned, who was the first one to defend him? Moshe Rabbeinu was at the front to defend him. Even though a lot of times they spoke bad about him, it was against Moshe Rabbeinu.
Did Moshe try?
Yeah, Moshe tried. Of course Moshe tried.
What was he crying for? He knew what was
going to
happen.
He tried, listen. Did what he could do. Did what he could do. The Gedolim did what they could do to save somebody. We're a little bit too fair sometimes to judge people. Right away. Like I always say with the verse from the Abdurov, Pasha's boy, and we said it over, Kaddish Rechobacha, Tepta Korechim Bevnei Yisrael, Ba'odim Vamehem Olihu. Zot the Abdurov, Kaddish Rechobacha. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want to be Kodesh to me, call Becha. You have to look at every Yid as being a Becha. Everybody's Choshev. Everybody is a Becha. B'Vnei Yisrael. Amongst B'Nei Yisrael, everybody is considered to be a Becha. But all of them are Behema. Are you going to tell me he's a mensch, he's a person, and he's a Behema? Oh. He doesn't deserve Rachmanis. He doesn't deserve us to care about him. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lihu. That's my business. That's my Cheshbon. Who's the Adam? Who's the Behema? But your cheshbon is Kaddish Rechol B'Chom B'Vnei Yisrael to treat every Yid of Peter Rechem B'Vnei Yisrael. Peter Rechem. The psicha, the beginning is Rechem, to have Rechmonis. You treat everybody as a Bechor, Peter Rechem, have Rechmonis B'Vnei Yisrael. He's an Adam, he's a Behemoth, he's a man, she's a Behemoth. Lihu. So the Kosh Baruch, that's my cheshbon. I'll take care of who's the Adam, who's the Behemoth. But as far as we look at somebody else, Kaddish Rechol B'Chom Peter Rechem B'Vnei Yisrael, we have to treat everybody properly. There are two Rambans in this week's parasha that are very, very powerful. In Perik Tezayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the Pasuk tells us right after Sheni, Tezayin Chaf Aleph, Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron. Hashem says, "Hibadlu mitaycha eda zois." Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, "Separate from the Eda, v'achala oisam karam," and I'll destroy them in a second. I'll destroy them right away. Later on, in Perik Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud, we find a very, very similar lashon. In Yud Zayin Yud, the Pasuk tells us, "Hey roimu, v'idab Hashem Moshe leima, hey roimu, mitoicha Eda zayis, pick yourselves up from this Eda, v'achala oisam karaga, and I'll destroy them in a second. I'll destroy them right away." Both times when Hashem spoke about Chas V'Shalom destroying Klal Yisrael, He told Moshe and Aaron, "Hibadlu mitoicha Eda hazois," or "Hiroimu mitoicha Eda hazois." And the Ramban on Perik Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud, says the Ramban, "Hiroimu mitoicha Eda hazois," says the Ramban. Why did Hashem have to make it that when the Rishoyim are punished, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron was not meant to be there? I don't understand, says the Rashbam, why it says here, "Hey Raimu Mitaycha Eda Hazois," and why it says earlier, "He Badlu Mitaycha Eda Hazois." Ki Yesh Belokim Lahamis, Badever Rabin, Sov Tzadik, Hashem could kill Badever, many people around one Tzadik. What difference does it make whether the Tzadik is there, Moshe is there, or not? Both times Hashem told Moshe and Aaron to separate from the Eda. And says the Ramban, the reason is Shahoya Ketzef Yoitze Lahomis Gam Kol HaEda. Hashem was angry to Chas V'Shalom kill all of Klal Yisrael, and so on. And says Hashem, L'Kovod HaTzadikim, that Moshe Aaron should not be there out of Kovod for the Tzadikim. Shekol Zman Shehem B'Seichom. As long as the Tzadikim are standing together with Klal Yisrael, Lo Yishkach Yodoy Bahem. Hashem will not send His hand forth to punish Klal Yisrael. Tzadikim protect and watch over Klal Yisrael. So Hashem told Moshe and Aaron twice, "He badru mitaycha eda azois, he raimu mitaycha eda azois," to separate from the Eda. As long as the Tzadikim were there, Hashem did not want to punish Klal Yisrael because of the Tzadikim. And we see, Tzadikim protect people, Tzadikim watch over the generation. Every door has their Tzadikim that watch over them and protect the door. How is Korach punished? What ultimately happens to Korach? Fine, okay, you're right. What happened to all those that were with Korach? They're swallowed up by the earth.
Except his kids.
Fine, okay. Those that died from the story of Korach. How did they die? Some got burnt. And those who were not burnt, how did they die? They were swallowed, the piorets. V'mbriyo yivro Hashem, perek tazayin posuk lamid. If the earth opens up its mouth and swallows up the people, then you know that it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu who's doing it, but it's coming from Hashem. Perek tazayin posuk lamid. V'mbriyo yivro Hashem. If Hashem creates a bria, ufotetzo ha'adomas pia, and the earth opens its mouth, uvolo oisel and swallows them, that's kol asher lahem, and whatever belongs to them, v'yardu chayim shel, and they go down into the grave alive, v'yidat them, then you should know, ki niyatsu ha'noshim ha'el es Hashem. These people angered Hashem. And the Ramban here says, very, very, very fascinating. Says the Ramban, the earth opening up and swallowing somebody, earthquakes, never happened. Is it called a Bria Yibra Hashem? The Ramban's lashon is,
he's cynical about,
Ukvar Nifku Medinais Rabbis. It already happened. Many countries, earthquakes, the earth opened, and the Yardu Behem Shal, people were swallowed up alive. What's this great Bria of Bria Yibra Hashem? Earthquakes exist in the world. What's the great Bria Yivra Hashem that occurred in this pasuk? Tazayin pasuk lamed. Okay, the Ramban ben Bria Yivra Hashem, and the Ramban writes Avo Ha'inyin that Bekiyas Ha'adama, the earth splitting, the earth, that's not a Bria Chadasha. That's part of the nature of the world. There are earthquakes in the world. Avo Psichas Ha'ares Es Piha Levloyahu Chiddush, but for the earth to open its mouth to swallow is a chiddush. What happens when a person swallows something up? After he swallows it, you can't recognize that he's ate something. Puts it in his mouth, chews, and then he looks the same like he did before. Says Ramban, that's what happened. Whenever there's an earthquake, there are devastating effects. You see what happened. You see trees uprooted, rocks, buildings knocked down. You see devastating effects from the earthquake. From this earthquake, there were no devastating effects at all. It was mamish, like a person opening his mouth, swallowing, and went down, and the earth closed up again. A person closing his mouth. There was nothing at all that remained to show in any way that it was swallowed up by the earth. That never happened. Because when the earth splits, like it happens many times, the earth can remain open, and it fills in with water, and it uproots trees and so on, it causes destruction. But for the earth to open and close right away, like a person who opens his mouth to swallow, and he closes his mouth after swallowing, it's a new thing that came about on that day, as if it was created. So Ramban learns, it wasn't like we call an earthquake, the earth shook and it was destruction. The earth opened its mouth and it swallowed them up, and the earth closed its mouth, and everything remained the way it was before. It's very interesting. From a machlokes, nothing remains. Even there's not even a hecker where the earth swallowed them up. The earth looked the same as it did before, looked the same afterwards. Nothing remained from the machlokes of Kairach.
Quicksand.
That wasn't quicksand. Quicksand, it's like that all the time. From his mouth. Quicksand, that's a place where a person sinks. This was solid ground. Opened up, swallowed them, and closed. There wasn't even an ice left on the ground to show where they were swallowed up, where they were destroyed. Nothing remained from the machlokes at all. From the machlokes, nothing remains good from the machlokes. And even when Kairach and his Eidah was swallowed up by the earth, after they were swallowed up, the earth closed its mouth as if nothing happened. Like a person who ate, swallows, you can't see any effects at all. You couldn't see any effects on the earth at all if they were swallowed up. From a machlokes, nothing remains. The pasuk says later on, the end of the parasha speaks about the matnas kahuna and the matanas levavim, truma and meiser, and all the choftal and matanas we give to the kahanim and we give to the levavim. In Perik Yud Ches, the pasuk choftalid, the pasuk tells us ki es masa bnei Yisrael. I gave to the Levim for Yerusha. I came, Amarti Lahem, B'seich B'nei Yisrael, Lo Yinchalu Nachala. Levim, Kahanim, don't have Yerusha in an Eretz Yisrael. But we give them Truma and Maisa. They don't have a Nachwa. The Chizkuni in Pashas Shoiftim writes, if the Levim would have land fields in Eretz Yisrael, the Kahanim would have land in Eretz Yisrael, La'yucha la'ovdo u'shamra. They won't be able to work it and to watch it. Because they're required to be kavua always in the base of Mikdash, they would have no time to take care of the fields. So forget, in a way it was a bracha for them, the Kahanim didn't have any land, fields to maintain. And this way they were able to dedicate their lives towards the base of Mikdash. In Pashas Bahaloischa, the Pasuk says, V'ekach ha-salavim, perikhes Pasuk Yudches, the Chizkuni writes that the Kahanim, the Levim, did not do any melacha, only avoidas ha-kaydish, penyumdu yodov l'mlech eschel. Perhaps they'll accustom their hands to doing melacha that's choil. And their hands are dedicated to basically to do melacha of choil, avoidas ha-kaydish, and they're going to use their hands for melech eschel. So therefore, they didn't have a nacha, they didn't have any melech eschel, so to speak, to do. So, there was a rav in Detroit, Megruskin was his name, snifter a while back. I happen to know his son, and his son always has a good word to tell me from his father when I meet him. So lately he put out the sefer with all his father's retluch and stories. So I think he gave it to me at the beginning of the year, so I just took it out tonight, and his father asked a very interesting question. Megruskin asked, what do you mean the Kahanim wouldn't have time to work the fields? How many weeks a year did the Kahanim do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash? There were 24 Mishmaris.
Right.
1 week out of every 24. Or 2 weeks out of every 48. 2 weeks a year. And even during that week, how many days did the Kahanim do the Avodah? One day? The Kahanim would divide, each Mishmah was divided up into six Mishmaris. Shabbos, they all did the Avodah. Sunday was one Beis Av. Monday, another Beis Av. Tuesday, another Beis Av. So it comes out of 48 weeks, they did the Avodah twice, 2 days, plus a Shabbos. So 4 days, and Yom Tovim. So out of a whole year, how many days was the Aaron called? 3 Yom Tovim, plus 2 weeks, and really 2 days of those 2 weeks, or 4 days. For that, they were too busy to maintain
not,
a field?
Not all 2 weeks?
No. Their Mishmah was there. But each day, only certain people in the Mishmah did the Avodah. Each Mishmah was divided up into different groups.
But
there's a Sunday group.
But they're supposed to be ready, these 2 weeks.
Okay,
supposed
good,
to
but,
be
it wasn't, but it wasn't their day to do the Avodah.
Okay,
his day was Thursday.
If he is a farmer, he is not on his farm, these
good,
2 weeks.
Good, fine, okay. What about the rest of the year? The other 46 weeks of the year? They couldn't have land? They couldn't have land to do Avodah? The Chizkuni says they were zokok to be kvu tomim beis hamikdash. They weren't able to do the Avodah.
They wouldn't have in mind.
Chizkuni says, Vaistois from here, that to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a whole year process. It takes a preparation. You can't, during the time you're away, be Isaac in the Divrei Chayil, but you have to constantly be in that mind frame, that mindset of doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kahanim, even though they weren't there every week of the year, but they constantly had to be prepared and constantly had to ready themselves to do the Avodah. And that took time to prepare. It wasn't they just went to the mikveh and they were ready to go do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but constantly the Kahanim had to be with a mind on the Beis HaMikdash and not involved with doing uvda d'chayil and not with the minds thinking about their mundane everyday activities, but fakert, they had to prepare themselves for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash today. It's hard for us to understand, but Mr. Shem, we will have the Beis HaMikdash. The Kahanim will have to prepare for the Avodah, be able to see and feel the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. At the beginning of the parasha, it's going back, the Pasuk says, in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Tes, Hama'at Mikem. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kairach, Hama'at Mikem, is it small, is it little to you, that Hashem separated you from the rest of Klal Yisrael, v'hakriv eschem eilav, to do the Avodah for Hashem, to stand in front of the Eidah, to serve them, Hama'at Mikem. Moshe said to Kairach v'chalad Asai, what are you complaining about? Nis'ayrer ala kahuna. Kairach complained about the kahuna. He said to Kairach, Hama'at Mikem, is it too little for you what you have? Is it not enough for you what Hashem gave you? Hashem appointed you to be Levim. It's not enough. You only want to do the most chashuv job. You want to be the Kohen Gadol. It's too little for you to do the avoda of a lady. It's too small for you. You only want the biggest job possible. You only want to be the Kohen Gadol. Hamat mikem. Is it too small for you? Vayker v'yoyda Hashem es Hashemoy. Pasuk said earlier in the morning, Hashem will make known who is on his side. And Rashi brings down, for Rashi, but the Mefarshim bring down, just like the morning has a gevul, a border, night ends, morning starts, so too, Kedusha, mitzvahs have a gevul, a border also. And Hashem will have known who is Kadosh and who is not Kadosh. Hama'at mikem. Kairach wanted too much. He didn't appreciate the avoda of the Levim that he had. Sfasemis explains that Kairach wanted too much. The greater a person is, the more he understands the chashivas of mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu understood the chashivas of each mitzvah. Hama'at mikem. He said to Kairach, is it too small for you what you have? The mitzvah that you have is not enough for you? You need more? An Adam Gadol understands how great each mitzvah is and values the mitzvahs the way they should be valued. Kairach wanted to shoot for the stars. Double or nothing. He didn't appreciate the mitzvahs that he had. Story is told over. In one of the kibbutzim in Eretz Yisrael, a mashkiach was there one day for kashrus, and it was late in the day, and they had only 9 people to daven mincha. They had only 9 people for mincha. And they're looking for a center, but hard to find. After a while, there's an old yid walking by, bareheaded, not from, he's the center. Would you mind coming and being mitzdarif to a minyan, and be mashma a minyan for mincha? He says, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know how to daven. I don't know what. Just come in. You'll answer an amen when everyone answers amen. And that's it. And you'll be able to say a kaddish and a kedusha and fine. Okay. He agrees to come in. You tell him for 10 minutes you stay here and then you can go. He says, fine. He comes into shul. He sits down. A minute or two later, somebody else comes running in at Zemta for mincha. And they tell the old man, you could go. We don't need you. It's okay. And he leaves. He passes away a few weeks later. He comes to this mashgiach who called him in for mincha. He comes to him in a dream. And he says to him, I came here for 2 things. One is I want to tell you that you have no idea how much schar I had in Shemayim for just coming in for that mincha. Even though I didn't stay for the mincha, but the schar that I have is so great that I agreed to come in and I came into that mincha for just completing the minyan. The schar is so great. And second of all, I want you to say Kaddish for me. Can you say Kaddish for me for the year? He says, yes. He said Kaddish for him. So when he would tell over the story, he would say over, imagine, that's just coming into shul for davening. Not davening, not staying, just coming in one time. Kal v'chomer, when a person comes to shul, when a person davens, and not only one tefillah, he davens 3 tefillahs a day, and Shabbos, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, how much schar a person has. And what do we do when it comes to davening? Oh, it's late, it's too early, I don't have time, I'm in a rush, I have to run out. I talk a little bit, we schmooze a little bit, we're not machshavit. If we would understand how choshev it is in Shemayim, it'd be a whole different story. Hama'at mikem. It's too little for us. It doesn't seem so choshev to us. We get used to something, we look down upon it. Hama'at mikem. Fakert. We have to open our eyes to understand that mitzvahs are choshev. And every mitzvah counts. Especially davening, is it so small in our eyes? The schar that a person has for davening is tremendous. Davening is worth a lot. The Mor of Shemesh is a well-known sefer, one of the easier Chassidish Sfarim. Mor of Shemesh was a Talmud of the Noam HaMelech. And in Krakow, he used to daven off in the side room, connected to the shul, but for whatever his personal reasons, he would daven in this little room off to the side. One day he's davening, and he hears a big rash, and suddenly he hears a voice say to him, "My neshama needs a tikkun. And I came to you to be a sake my neshama." Seems that he wasn't the only one that heard this voice. And he answers back, "Me? I don't know how to be a sake neshama. I'm not somebody.
What's masake?
The fixed neshama. The neshama that's done aveiris needs a tikkun. I don't know how to be a sake in a shomer. It's not my department. Go find some. Go to Noam HaMelech. Go to the big rebbe. I'm just davening here on the side." So the Here's the answer is, no, I came dafka to you, because in Shemayim they said I should come to you. They told me that I should go to the shul in Krakow, and I should find the yid who's davening off in the side room. And the yid is davening in the side room, he misak in my neshama. So Rabbi Shemesh says, I don't know how to be misak in neshamas, but since they sent you, I have to try. I'll tell you what he says. I'll take it on myself to learn Chai Prokim Mishnayis, 18 Prokim of Mishnayis as a ticket for your neshama. I see is of Mishnah and neshama the same letters. Mem Shin Nun Hei, Nun Shin Mem Hei. The letters of Mishnah and neshama are the same. I take it upon myself to learn Mishnayis, 18 Prokim Chai as a ticket for your neshama. Is that enough? And the neshama answers, I don't know. They sent me here for a ticket. I'll tell you what. I'll accept it and I'll go back upstairs. If they say it's good enough, you won't see me again. If it's not good enough, I'm coming back for another ticket. And they agree that he'll learn 18 Prok Mishnayis. The Neshama disappears, everything quiets down, he never heard the Neshama, never came back to him again. A little while later, the Talmidim that were there asked him, 18 Prok Mishnayis. They said, your schedule is so busy, you're busy from the morning, you wake up and to the time you go to sleep at night, where'd you find time to learn 18 Prok Mishnayis for this Neshama? And he looked and he said, a neshama needs a tikkun, and I can't find time to learn 18 prokim. A neshama needs a tikkun, a yid needs a favor. How can I not learn 18 prokim mishnayis? And he learned the 18 prokim mishnayis for a chesed. No, that's mishnayis. Do we appreciate when we learn a mishnah? I see it's neshama, what he can do? Chavetz Chaim always said over, why does a person have to wait till after he's nifta for somebody else to learn mishnayis for him? While he's alive in this world, he can learn mishnayis for himself. Why wait? The Mishnayos is a tremendous kayach. May Asher Shemeinu Lachmo. Shemeinu is Oisiyas Mishnah. Brings Ashiris to a person that's brought down. Asher is Lechem. Mishnayos is a lot of schools that are good for a person. It's good to learn. It's good to learn Mishnayos. But we don't appreciate it because it's so malum. It's so accustomed to opening Gemara. We're in a Mishnah here, Mishnah there. It's hard. It's difficult. But if we would realize the chashivas of mitzvahs, how much each word of Torah is worth, how much a mishnah is worth, we learn it. So let's be misakin ourselves to value the chashivas of mitzvahs, figure, Torah, hama'at mikem. Is it too small for us? No mitzvah should be too small. And forget, every mitzvah that we have a chance to do, we should do. And like we mentioned last week, the summer is coming. It gets a little bit heftier in the summertime. It's a little bit hot. People get a little bit, it's harder. Life becomes a little bit freer, heftier in the summer. So let's be mechazik ourselves in the summer. If I can, if one has extra time in the summer, use it the right way. And if I can, if you use it the right way, utaka si hatzlocho, v'shuzaycha to continue learning, v'shuzaycha to see, 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 v'shuzaycha to see,